I used to work in a busy North London parish on the Piccadilly line, and every morning, Monday to Friday, I used to walk down and get my newspaper from the newsagents. And between the hours of 7 and 9, there'd be the most fearsome-looking man standing outside, big beard, hair sticking up, and shouting at the top of his voice, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, you miserable sinners." And you could see people crossing the road just to get away from him, you know, going several hundred yards out of their way to get the tube just because of him. One morning I thought, I'm going to walk right up to him and I'm going to say good morning. And so I did. I was there with my black suit, my dog collar, went right up to him and smiled at him. I was like, "Good morning, how are you?" And he shouted at me, "And there's one of the priests who passes by on the other side." I said, "I'm not on the other side, I'm right in front of you." But he was so carried away with telling people how much God hated them that he had no time to remind them of God's love. I used to think that John the Baptist was a man just like that. I used to think that John the Baptist was the sort of figure who was calling the people to repentance but denouncing them because of their sins. But this Advent, I've had to stop and think again. Why did John the Baptist attract such huge crowds to him? A man who shouts about the wrath of God doesn't draw people. There was something about John's message of freedom and forgiveness. There was something on John's face, there was something in his heart that drew the crowds in huge numbers. In fact, I think John the Baptist was the most joyful man that ever lived. The gospel that we read at Mass last Sunday was all about John. Now remember, the second joyful mystery of the Rosary, the Visitation, when Mary, after the Annunciation by the angel Gabriel, runs across the hills of Judea and bursts into her cousin Elizabeth. Mary's like the first missionary. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the one who brings good news. She bursts into her cousin Elizabeth's house with the greeting and the news that she's pregnant. And what does Elizabeth say? "The moment, Mary, your greeting reached my ears, the child in my womb leapt for joy." Who was that child? That child was John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin. John, the most joyful man that ever lived, even before he was born, didn't just kick in the womb. I think he danced the can-can. He recognised Jesus for who he truly was, Jesus the joy bringer. A lot of people have the impression of Christians and people of faith that we're killjoys. If you look at some of the soap operas today, there's dear old Dot Cotton on EastEnders. Don't you love her? She's had the hardest time of all with Nick and Jim and now Bradley or whatever his name is. And then there's Emily Bishop on Coronation Street. Well, she's always got a bit of a face on. And then there's that woman on Emmerdale. You know, the one with the hat. You know, people of faith are often portrayed as killjoys, whereas the reality is, the deeper truth and the most life-giving news of all is that Christians are those who know how to celebrate. We know what the cause of our joy truly is. Very shortly now, we'll be celebrating the greatest gift of all, the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas, the one who comes to bring a deep-down joy to the human heart. And I'm not talking about jollity, you know, 'tis the season to be jolly, we're going to sing, and deck the halls with boughs of holly, if you can find it, or buy it, or afford it, in this day and age. Jollity is something else, it depends what side of the bed you get out of in the morning. But a deep down joy is something that lasts, and something that nothing can take away, and something that endures, and something that gives you that absolute certainty that you are loved, that you are freed, that you are forgiven, that you are cherished, that you are valued, that your life has meaning and purpose, that the size of your bank balance or lack of it, that the roof over your head or the food on your table, none of that can alter the fundamental fact that you are God's work of art. If that doesn't make you joyful, nothing ever will.